Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see every one of you here this morning. Thank you for being here. Please rise in body or spirit for our first hymn, I've Got Peace Like a River, 100.
Good morning. Unitarian Universalists begin our services with the lighting of our chalice. I've asked Francis Osborne to light our chalice this morning. And please join me in reciting the chalice lighting words printed in our order of service. With the kindling of this flame, we affirm our commitment to accept life's gifts with grace and gratitude and use them to bless the world in the spirit of love. Good morning again. My name is Sheila Ray, and I'm our lay leader, worship leader this morning. Wildflower Church is a beacon of liberal religion in South Austin. I come here to nourish my soul, hang out with old friends, make new friends, and help make the world a better place through participating in our many opportunities for social action. I come here to inspire and to be inspired. I want to give a special welcome to our visitors, our first time and returning visitors. Please be sure and join us for refreshments and conversations after the service over in our community room in the building to your left. As we note in the order of service, assisted hearing devices are available in the foyer. So if you'd like to use one, a greeter will help you, and they're right in the back. Our speaker today is our minister, Reverend Brian Ferguson. And our musicians, our wonderful musicians, are Steve Brooks on vocals and guitar, Elke Bates on piano, Aaron Walter on vocals, and Jason Crow on bass. And I have left out a couple people, Christy Borain and Wendy. She's just changed her name to Wendy. It's a share kind of thing. Let's take a moment to welcome the people sitting near us, especially those who you haven't met yet or don't know well. Okay, you'll have a chance later to visit over in the community room, so let's take our seats. Will you rise? In body or spirit, get back up to recite our unison reading printed in your order of service. It's right here. Ah, that was good. We affirm that love is our greatest purpose. Accepting one another is our truest form of faithful living. The search for truth is our constant star. We pledge our hearts, minds, and hands to challenge injustice with courage, to find hope in times of fear, and to live out our Unitarian Universalist values every day as a beloved community. Thus do we covenant with each other and with all that is sacred.
I'd like to invite people of all ages forward for the time for all ages. And you might want to get a good seat for this because I may hurt myself. Good morning, everyone. So nice to see every one of you here this morning. It's absolutely lovely. And I've got a couple of things in here, and I think I might need some of your advice with this one. I've got a piece of wood, and I've got a nail. But I can't get the nail in the piece of wood. I push, and I'm quite strong. I'm not as strong as I used to be. I'm getting old now, but I used to be really strong, and I can't get the nail in the wood. What do you think I should do? Yes, Diego.
I'll get a hammer and just nail it down. Bam, bam.
You think that would make me stronger and more powerful? You're very smart, Diego, because guess what I've got in here? A hammer. This is where I may hurt myself. I practiced all day yesterday. I spent hours hammering nails into wood. So you think, would you just hit away? Or do I hit the wood or do I hit the nail?
The nail.
The nail, okay. Oh! Good enough. I knew that was going to happen. Sometimes things don't always go according to plan. But you see how that was quite easy? And probably all of you could actually put a nail into the hammer. But I'll leave your parents to supervise you for that one, okay? But you see how this nail made me more stronger? Yes?
Did you know you might want to watch out because it might be long enough to go through and poke you?
You're exactly right. I actually picked my small nails for that exact reason. That is really smart. Yes, but this is the only pot block of wood I had in my house yesterday. So I want to tell you a story related to this. And it's about a young boy, kind of like your age, and his mother asks him, could you move that rock? And so he goes out into the garden and he pushes and he can't move the rock. And his mum says, well, I don't think you're using everything you have. He said, yes, I'm pushing as hard as I can. I'm pushing with my legs. I'm pushing with my arms. I can't move the rock. And the mum says, well, let me tell you a little story. He says, there was this hunter who was going out and he was trying to catch birds. And he tried to catch flocks of birds with a net. So he went around and he would catch a flock of birds and scoop them up and take them away. But one time this hunter came and he caught the birds, a whole flock of birds. But guess what the birds did? One of the birds was really smart, kind of like you lot. And one of the birds said, let's all fly in the same direction. Let's all fly up. And so the man had the net, and the birds were flying up, and he couldn't control them because they were all going in the same direction, because usually the birds just scattered around all over the place. But they all flew in the same direction. And so he said, so what do you think of that story? And the little boy thought about it. He goes, Mum, will you help me push the rock? She goes, sure. And they pushed the rock, and they were able to move the rock. And sometimes we have to remember that one of the biggest power we have is asking other people for help. So I'd like you to show your power of self-control now. And could you walk to your religious education class? And thank you so much for listening. And I didn't hurt myself, you'll be pleased to hear.
Oh no, it's the survey guy again. This is my last week. As you know, we have a survey out that we are trying to get to 75 responses. We are short of that. We are at about 57 right now. And I've been enticing you with a dessert party next weekend. But luckily, I know the president. And I mean, of course, the president of Wildflower Church. And he created an executive order that declares February 11th, 2017, as Wildflower Church Dessert Party Day. So we're still going to have the party. And we're also going to have some musical entertainment. I know Steve Brooks, Jason Crow, Michael Johnson, and some others will be there. So please join me in the Wildflower Community Room next Saturday from 2 to 4. If you do it right, you will ruin your dinner. But at the same time, I am going to leave the survey open, and I would really like to get to the 75 responses. So if you haven't completed it, please take some time to do it. And let's prove to our president that he does not have to keep creating executive orders.
Hi. Just wanted to let you know that next week after the service at 1 o'clock in the community room, David Walding, who's the executive director of the Bernard Kohler Agency, who's an expert in immigration law and whose work is to help undocumented people get protection, get documentation where it's possible. And he's a really extra wonderful person, as you would expect somebody in that kind of work to be. And so 1 o'clock, community room after the service a week from today. Thank you. It's also listed in your order of service.
Good morning. I'm Erin. I'm the intern minister, and I want to draw your attention to all the items on that white sheet, including two that are very timely. Today at 1:15, we have Preventing Bias-Based Bullying, a workshop predominantly for K through 6th grade parents and educators, but I would invite anyone to come and check it out. It's a really important workshop led by Paige Schilt. You may remember her having read from her book Queer Rock Love at our Mother's Day service this past May. And then I also want to say that Zumba returns tomorrow morning, and so anyone who wants to come dance with me, now more than ever, we need our spiritual practices, we need our joy practices, and so I invite you to come and find out how Unitarian Universalist Zumba is done. Thank you.
And this is me without a hammer. I'd like to call attention to the Unitarian Universalist Legislation Day at the Texas State Capitol on the 15th of February, a week on Wednesday. There'll be more information being sent out this week. And that's where we go. We meet with our state senators, our state representatives, and their staff. And we are going to be focusing on specific issues, reproductive justice, immigrants, and I feel like Rick Perry because I can't remember the third one. But there's a number of issues, but this is a chance that's organized for us where we go forward. Income inequality, I think, is the third issue that we're addressing. These are all very important issues. They're at the heart of who we are as a religious movement. And I invite you all, anyone who's interested, to come along, even if you don't feel speaking to your representatives at this time. It's a great learning exercise to be that close to power that affects all of our lives. So please consider that, and please contact me with any questions. An important part of religious community is supporting one another through our joys and through our celebrations, as well as through our struggles and through the hardship that life offers. We will now have a moment in our service where those who have got something heavy on their heart to come forward and share with the congregation. We invite you to come forward, pick a pebble and place it in the water as a symbol of sharing your joys and your concerns with us. I remind people we respect the inherent worth and dignity of all people, so I ask that they all be respectful. Please come forward at this time.
My name is Connie. I have a new addition to our family. This is for my new niece. Her name is Delilah Rose, born on the 11th.
If you want to come forward and line up.
Well, this may seem a little strange, but I've had lots of problems with my teeth since last May, and I can finally chew food again.
That's a joy. That is a joy.
Hello, my name is Jorge Cañizares. I am a political refugee. I came to this country exiled 30 years ago, and I've been without community and religion for many years, and one of the miracles of what is going on in this country is that I becoming religious. I understand that religion is community, and resistance is community.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sheila. My granddaughter has gone into a rehab center for depression and drug abuse. So hold her in your heart, please.
Hello. The last time I was up here doing this, I talked about how I had a joy of having Wildflower as a family because my concern was how much I missed my family. And I have an extra joy in that Sarah and I are getting married, and her wonderful mother and brother have just moved to Austin. So all of a sudden, my family grew, and now I have a huge church family and a small family at home.
Thank you. Thanks. Great.
Don't be shy. Hey everyone, I'm Rustin. Recently I found out that my uncle, who's a big part of why I am here today, was diagnosed with incurable cancer.
I found it a joy to march last week with 50,000 like-minded people standing up for community and resistance, and to go to the airport and do the same on behalf of immigrants.
Thank you.
My name is Jerry King, and I have a joy. I've been struggling with a whole set of symptoms for like 35 or 40 years. And a doctor finally figured out what was wrong. I had an operation at the end of December. I'm a new man. Yay!
I would like to acknowledge my 95-year-old grandfather who is learning to navigate life without his partner of 73 years. Oh.
I want to say that I'm so glad that I have this church to come to on Sunday. Thank you all.
Amen. Thank you, Janet.
I just wanted to put a stone in for our children and youth. We have so many of them, and they're so wonderful to work with. And I've had two Sundays where I missed being with you in the sanctuary because I was working with middle school, and it gave me such hope. So to our youth and our children.
Thank you. I will put one final stone in for those joys and concerns that remain within the sanctuary of our hearts. May we hold all those spoken and unspoken with us, now and the days ahead. Please remain seated and join me in singing hymn 123, Spirit of Life. I invite you now to join me in the spirit of prayer and meditation and reflection. I invite you to take a breath and breathe out our anxieties. I invite you to breathe in strength and breathe out our worries. I invite you to breathe in courage and breathe out our fears. Spirit of life and love, Spirit of this community gathered here that makes this a sacred time and a sacred place, we hold those joys and concerns we just heard. We hold them in our hearts, we hold them in our minds, and we hold them in our bodies. We acknowledge that life often throws obstacles in our hopes and also provides great surprising celebrations that we acknowledge. We know that joy shared can amplify and concerns shared can unburden us, perhaps just a little, but can unburden us. And may we always remember in those times of struggle and when we're close to despair to reach out to others, to reach out to our friends, to our family, reach out to this church community, reach out to our ministers. We are here to celebrate the joys and we are here to sit with the struggle. Our country is struggling right now. Our world seems to be struggling. We fill up with anxieties and fears. We have little relaxation or relent. Nothing relents us from the struggle. Yet we need to ground ourselves in that which fills our vessels, which fills our heart, which opens our hearts and opens our minds to the rich, beautiful world, and to help us be part in healing, to restoring health to the wounded, and to caring for our world that is crying out for us to serve. I invite you to join me in silence. Blessed be, and amen.
Our covenant reminds us to support our church with our gifts and services. If you are visiting with us today for the first time, let the plate today pass as your presence here is gift enough. Please give as generously as you are able. The offering will now be given, and thank you for your generosity. I will tell you how I became a Unitarian and why I have stayed a Unitarian for 47 years. In 1970, my then husband and I went to an anti-war rally planning meeting, which was held at First Unitarian Church in Lubbock. While waiting for the meeting to start, I wandered around checking out the place and ended up standing in front of their bulletin board. On it was evidence that this was a place which cared for and fought for issues not only for ending the war in Vietnam, but others such as women's rights, gay rights, the environment, poverty, and racism. But what really stood out for me that evening was the notice of their religious education classes, which included a schedule for kids to volunteer for the food bank, plant trees in the park, and paint images from Native Americans in classroom number 3. You see, we had only recently learned, quite unexpectedly, that we would become parents before the year was out. I had heard that in Lubbock, children in public school were often asked on Mondays what they had learned in Sunday school the day before. What would our child have to say to such a question? Though we were only then beginning to articulate it, we wanted a religion that did not scare or patronize people, a place to provide our child something to say when his teacher asked about Sunday school. We went to the Lubbock UU Church the next Sunday and have never stopped going, no matter where we were to live. The marriage eventually ended, but each of us has continued to seek and find a religious community, providing a chance every week to look at the big picture of life and engage with pressing social issues. When I recently had the thrilling experience of attending the Women's March in Washington, I was proud to see among the many inspiring and creative signs, yellow posters with a chalice and the words, "Standing on the side of love, my people." And this past week at the Capitol, when I looked for a place to link arms in the huge circle of people at the Muslim support rally, I broke into the line next to a couple I had not met who were wearing shirts saying, "Standing on the side of love, my people." At the protest Thursday at the Capitol, there were many Unitarians among those who sought to block the Senate bill outlawing sanctuary cities in Texas. There's work to be done. I'm called to keep fighting the good fight and quote the gospel according to Bob Dylan. Come, senators, congressmen, please heal the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. There's a battle outside raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. My people. I close with the words of Olympia Brown, the first woman to become an ordained minister in the United States. It does not surprise us to learn she was a Unitarian and a fervent fighter for women's rights who lived to see the passage of the 19th Amendment and to vote for the first time. She speaks here for the call to the faith. Stand by this faith. Work for it and sacrifice for it. There's nothing in all the world so important as to be loyal to this faith, which has placed before us the loftiest ideal, which has comforted us in sorrow, strengthened us for the noble duty, and make the world beautiful. Do not demand immediate results, but rejoice that we are worthy to be trusted with this great message, that you're strong to work for a great true principle without counting the cost. Go on finding ever new applications of these truths and new enjoyments to their contemplation. My people.
I'm bringing my hammer with me. So we're talking about power, and I've got a hammer. And I can't help but think of the symbolism of a hammer, of allowing us to build things. It can seem like a violent image, but it actually allows us to build things. And many of you, well, some of the longer time Unitarian Universalists were probably familiar with hands-on housing, something that the Live Oak Unitarian Universalist Church, First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin and Wildflower were all involved with. We worked with an organization called Texas Impact. And we used to go to people, you know, help and basically repair people's houses. The three churches would go there, and different groups would do it. But three churches, three Unitarian Universalist churches would go there, and we'd work, you know, all ages would work on repairing houses that were in a shocking state of disrepair. It was unbelievable to me that people in Austin had houses in those conditions. And it was a really satisfying, it was great community building. You felt you were really doing service. And I did it a number of years ago with my daughter, Isla. And we worked, and we were kind of scraping. I was working with her, and she was about 7 or 8 at the time, and we were scraping paint and repainting the person's house. And we got in the car to leave. And she said, "Dad, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." She says, "Why was it only men that were up the ladders, and why was it only men using the tools?" Interesting. We liberal Unitarian Universalists, we people who ordained the first woman minister 150 years ago, fought for women's rights, and 7 years ago, our church communities were reinforcing these stereotypes and disempowering women and empowering men. So I thought about this, and I couldn't argue with her. So the next few hands-on housings, we were doing it quarterly. I arranged a program for the children, all the children, to learn tools. You wouldn't know it by what I just did with that nail. And we would actually teach them to hammer, to saw under supervision and with parents' approval. We taught everyone to use tools. And then if someone needed to go up a ladder, I was more likely to send a young girl up than a young boy. And we have to realize that the structures of power that we experience are reinforced by a culture, and we as a church need to make sure that we empower people of all genders, of all gender identities, of all color of skin. We need to make sure that we do not reinforce those structures of oppression. And it's so difficult to do because we are all enculturated in our white male patriarchal culture. So hammer, be thinking about it. And when I think about hammers and nails, and we're here with a cross, what image comes to mind? Now, we do not identify as a specifically or uniquely Christian church. This is Faith Presbyterian's cross. But I think of crucifixion when I think of hammer and nails and the cross. What do we think is being crucified in our culture? Now, in the Christian tradition, Jesus, this ideal, this God, this revolutionary that was opposing empire, was crucified with hammer and nails. What is crucified in our culture right now? And I am fearful that our democracy is being crucified. I'm fearful that immigrants, I'm fearful of anyone who is different from the white male stream, mainstream, is being crucified right now. And yet, the Christians have done a fabulous job of basically reinventing, reframing the cross to be a symbol of hope. This symbol of torture and execution has been reframed as a structure of hope. And my title of this sermon is From Protest to Power. And I was at the Women's March in Austin 2 weeks ago, and I spoke about it the Sunday afterwards. And that was so inspirational. It was inspiring. It really shook me out of my disappointment, shall we say, of where I feel the country and the world's going. And the other thing I realized, and I spoke about it 2 weeks ago, and this sermon is really a continuation, is what I think is really worth pursuing in life, especially of those of us with progressive values, we need to pursue power. I think we're very good at protesting, but we need to get power. We need to be able to promote our values in our culture because I believe our culture needs it. And the other thing the Christians did with this symbol of the cross, they made it a symbol of hope. And Howard Zinn, a kind of great historian, says this about hope. He says, to be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It's based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. If we see only the worst, it destroys our capacity to do something. If we remember those time and places, and there are so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the energy to act, and at least the possibility of sending the spinning top of a world in a different direction. And if we do act in however a small way, we don't have to wait for some utopian figure. Those are the words of Howard Zinn. And on Thursday, I was at the SB4 protest at the state capitol. It feels these days that you could spend every day at something at the state capitol, and that's going to be exhausting. So I encourage you to be selective, but I do encourage you to show up, and I think that UU Legislative Day on the 15th of February might be a good day to show up. There'll be plenty of Standing in the Side of Love t-shirts that day, I'm sure, and I'll be wearing mine. But this past Thursday, we went for the SB4, and this is basically it's called the Anti-Sanctuary City legislation, and what they're really looking to do is have local law enforcement cooperate with the immigration service. And on the surface, that can seem quite reasonable, but what you really have to see that's behind this law is it's going to create a lot of fear amongst the most vulnerable people in our community. Because the most vulnerable people in our community are the undocumented immigrants who already get exploited by criminals and get exploited by corporations. We've heard of the construction where wage theft is rampant. And the undocumented immigrants are unable to go to law enforcement. And this is only going to drive a deeper and deeper wedge between the law enforcement, the local law enforcement, and the undocumented immigrants, and really all immigrants. As I spoke about last Sunday with my immigrant experience, whether you're undocumented or fully legal, it's a scary process. It's a dehumanizing process. But one of the things I found about the Women's March in SB4, of course, there was 606 people spoke, 595 voted against it, and it got voted out of committee by 7-2. I know Faye Maxwell was there, Edie Clark shaking her head at the back there, she was there. And Erin, our intern, was there. And it's really disappointing. You wonder, well, where's the democracy in that? And the reason that we're not able to affect that is because we do not have the power. We can protest it. And yet that protest is valuable. I'm not saying we shouldn't protest. Protest is valuable because it gives hope to the undocumented immigrants. It gives hope to the most vulnerable in our community that there's people out there who care for them. Protest also lets those know in power that we are watching them. We do not like what is happening, and we are watching them. That's also an important part of protest. But from a very personal level, the Women's March was hugely inspirational for me, as it was for many of us. And sometimes protest can be inspirational. But where do we go with that inspiration? Frederick Douglass has been in the news a bit this week. I actually planned to use this quote 2 weeks ago. I believe, just so you know, he died in 1895. And he wrote this in 1857 with regard to the emancipation of African Americans. This struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one. And it may be both moral and physical, but it must be a struggle. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. Find out just what any people will quietly submit to, and you have found the exact measure of injustice and wrong which will be imposed upon them. And these will continue till they resist with either words or blows or both. And so protest is one form of that resistance. And as a religious community, I think we are called to protest because our values are under threat right now. And we also need to be able to celebrate the victories. One of the things that struck me with the energy around that Women's March, imagine if we had had that Women's March when the Affordable Care Act got passed. We need to celebrate that. My personal opinion that the Affordable Care Act brought health care to millions of people who had no health care, that should have been celebrated. And it just fizzled through. So yes, protest, but also let's get together and march for celebration. If you can find a cause right now, let me know. And I'll be with you. Because let's be honest, people with real power don't march. You don't see the CEO of Bank of America or ExxonMobil or Wells Fargo out there marching. It's people like ourselves. People who have real power don't march. So I think what we are called to do as a religious community, what we are called as individuals, and what we are called as people of faith is find a way to organize power and to find the power of organization. That's what I feel we are called. I invite Erin and Steve up for some music. Thank you. We're doing church today. Remember, music can be just a powerful hammer as any other hammer. So thinking ourselves virtuous and well-intentioned is not enough. We must practice the organization of power and the power of organization to realize the social incarnation of our Unitarian Universalist love in this world. And I invite you to go to your order of service, to the front of it, the quote by Martin Luther King. I quoted from it during my sermon 2 weeks ago, and I think it's valuable. And I invite us to read this in unison. Power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best. And the important element of a religious community engaged in justice work is we care about the people involved. We care about the people on all sides of the issue. Those who oppose us, those who are ambivalent, and those who are with us. We care about all of those. And people think that Unitarian Universalism has often put humanity at the center of religion. We have not. We have put the love of all humanity at the center of religion, and that's a big difference, the love of all humanity. And I want to share with you a story. And we'll see the person in it's Brian, who's 6'6" and about my height. And he was trying to get some work done, he was trying to prepare a sermon, and he was running behind, and his daughter kept disturbing him because she wanted to play. She wanted to play with me. So I thought, oh, I really need to do work. I just need like 45 minutes. So I saw a copy of the map of a world there. And I thought, well, she's young. She doesn't know the world. So I tore it up and said, here's the game. Why don't you put it back together again? I said, that would take her at least an hour. I said, it'd probably take me an hour to put it back together again. And she came back with 5 minutes with it connected up perfectly. I said, you don't know the world. How did you do that? She said, well, I looked in the back, and it was a picture of a person. So I put the person together, and I fixed the world. That is how, as religious people, we are going to fix the world. We are going to fix it one person at a time. We're going to use whatever power we have to bring healing, to bring care, to bring compassion, and sometimes to bring tears to unjust situations. That's what we do as people of faith. That's what we do as people of Unitarian Universalism. That's what we do as people who put the love of all humanity at the center of our religion. Our goal is not to save souls. Our goal is to serve souls, especially the most vulnerable amongst us. And Cesar Chavez, the great farm workers union leader, said, history will judge societies and governments and their institutions not by how big they are or how well they serve the rich and powerful, but by how effectively we respond to the needs of the poor and the helpless. It will be judged by not how effectively they serve the rich and powerful, but how effectively they will serve the poor and helpless. But we need to be smart. A less well-known quote from Jesus is that we need to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And you look at the Cesar Chavez, you look at the situation he was in as a farm worker in California. He had no power. But he built it by being creative and being clever and being cunning. And he built a movement. And he built it one person at a time. And I encourage us to be clever. We are a small religion. But we can be influential. Look at where we are. We are 2 miles from the Texas state capital. And our country is going two ways right now. And some thoughtful people argue one path is following California to a more liberal, progressive path. The other is following Texas to a more conservative, fundamentalist path. We are a progressive religious community 2 miles from the state capital of Texas. We have an inordinate amount of power and influence if we use it well. So how can we be cunning in doing that? And I go back, I'm throwing you a lot of Christianity at you today, but this is a story from the Hebrew scriptures of David and Goliath. We always think of that as the underdog versus the more powerful. I disagree. David was obviously the more powerful in that situation. Goliath was a fearsome warrior that everyone was scared of. He had armor and he had a sword. But David was smart and had a sling. He didn't need to get close to Goliath to bring him down. Goliath never got near him. David was smart enough to use his tools, his hammer, his power to bring down Goliath. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to build the communities of accountability. We need to build the community partners to influence the Texas state legislature. Because Texas is also the leader in energy, particularly the oil industry. And those of us who are worried about global warming, we can have an inordinate impact, even if we just knock Texas oil policies, energy policies, and politics a little way. We can have an inordinate amount of influence on the future of our country. And we need to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And what do we mean by being harmless as doves? Because we care about the other people. We're not trying to blame. We're not trying to destroy other people. We want to bring a better world for all, because the beloved community depends on all of us being in this together. And our universalist tradition called that all people will be saved, all people will go to heaven. We have this common destiny. And we might as well learn to get along with each other now, so there's no room to leave anyone behind. And that's as a religious movement. We are harmless as doves because we care about the welfare of those who oppose us as much as we care for each other. I want to finish with the words of the Catholic social activist Dorothy Day. And she says, "People say, what is the sense of a small effort? They cannot see that we must lay one brick at a time, take one step at a time. A pebble cast into a pond causes ripples that spread out in all directions. Each one of our thoughts, each one of our words, and our deeds is like that. No one has a right to sit down and feel hopeless. There's too much work to be done."
So this song is by Holly Near. She's a feminist musician and activist, and she also wrote the song We Are a Gentle, Angry People that is in our hymnal and that we talked about a few weeks ago. And the previous song was by Patti Smith, who is a punk poet as well, both from the U.S. So this is I Am Willing, and we're going to start it, and I'm going to invite you all in to sing with us eventually. If you would like to rise as you're willing and able now, the words are in your order of service, so go ahead and rise, yeah. And if you'd like to take the hand of someone, if you know this song, we're going to get it started, and you'll see where there's room to join in.
Please remain standing. Please join us for refreshments in the room to the left as we go out. Let's keep this energy. Let's keep this spirit going. Are we open?
Yes.
Are we willing?
Yes.
Are we going to honor those who came before and be the light of justice, love, and compassion in the world?
Yes.
Let's go. Be a blessing to the world. Be a blessing to each other. And be a blessing to yourself. Go with love, go in love. Amen.